The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work,
when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalists. Today's going to be just a little bit different because I've discovered some things in a file that one of my listeners sent me probably about 15 years ago. We'll get into that in a little bit. Anyway, today is October the 13th in the year 2019, and I'm Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist. Let's just get the business out of the way. My company, Survival Enterprises, SE1.us, we're offering some closeouts. Let's see, what do we have left? We have some portable solar panels. You know, it's funny, we buy closeouts sometimes, and we bought probably about 1,500 of these. I've got maybe four left. Number 10 cans of heirloom seeds. If you don't know what heirloom seeds are, look them up. You got internet. Unless, of course, you're black, and then according to the Democrats, you're not smart enough to access the internet. That's a story for another day. But these are number 10 cans of different varieties of seeds that you would use these the vegetables to make salsa. You know, peppers and onions and tomatoes and that kind of stuff. And then we also have grow your own hottest peppers on earth type seeds. In fact, all seeds are grow your own, aren't they? Well, they come in little cans, okay, like soup can size, and they already have the medium in there, and they have the seeds in there, and you pop the top, follow the instructions, add water, keep it warm, and then you as they grow, now you're going to get 5 to 10 sprouts out of each can. As they grow, you take them and separate them out into larger pots, and just pay attention to them, and they'll grow and grow, and they'll get about 4 feet high. Do yourself a favor, though. If you do get any of these and you decide to harvest the peppers, wear goggles and a mask and definitely gloves, which you will not use twice. After you've harvested them, then you'll throw those gloves away. Toxic is an understatement to how hot these things are. Now, also, just to let you guys know, you buy your liquids before winter really hits. Now, that's going to be a little difficult because here in Coeur d'Alene, we've already... In fact, Northwest has already broken 100-year records for snowfall and the cold. Now it's 40 degrees today here in Hayden, Idaho, which is just a mile or so north of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But you want to buy your liquids, and whether you buy them from Survival Enterprises or not, you want to buy liquids that are being shipped to you before the winter really kicks in. Otherwise, stuff's going to freeze, and when stuff freezes, it expands. And when stuff expands, it breaks the containers that it's in, then it leaks, and then the post office goes crazy and says, oh my God, a hazmat spill. So let's do away with all that stuff. But we have on sale to help you guys get moving on this our colloidal minerals, colloidal silver, our Lugol's iodine, and the oregano oil. These are all on sale through October or until it's too freezing to ship. Go to survivalenterprises.com, SE1.us. You'll see. Just go to the health on the left-hand side, click on that, and then scroll down. And you will see the stuff we have on sale that says pre-freeze sale. And if you have questions, you can give us a call. And the number's on the page there. In fact, every page for our site, top left corner, is the name of the company, the address, and the phone numbers. All right, let's get into the first category is economy. Now, I took a trip. I've been gone for about 2 weeks, and I took a trip down through Montana and Wyoming and Colorado and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona, and I wanted to talk to people about what was going on, and I wanted to see for myself this great booming economy. Well, first off, everywhere I went, there was a shortage of hotel rooms because there were too many people working in that area doing all kinds of stuff that needed temporary housing. I'll tell you one thing, when you go into Wyoming, as soon as you hit the border, you can taste oil in the air. Texas is not the center of oil production in the United States. Wyoming is. It is so booming. I'll give you an example. Cody, Wyoming, has 1,500 hotel rooms. They need rooms for 2,000 people a night. There's so much infrastructure improvement, and this is the thing. Now, the mainstream media, which is totally 100% controlled or in collusion with the socialists in the United States, they're not going to tell you any of this stuff. Maybe a little bit of news pops out of your local newspaper or something, but mainstream, no, nothing. The infrastructure, which has been stagnating since the 60s, is now being rebuilt. When I say infrastructure, I'm not talking about roads. I'm talking about oil infrastructure. The pipelines that take the oil from the ports where it's brought in hasn't changed in almost 60 years. It's been kept the same. So this is where they talk about peak oil. That there's only so much you can move backwards and forwards and around the United States. They're building pipelines all over the place. They're building containment centers. They're building cracking businesses throughout the United States. This is stuff that you're not hearing about. I went and saw it. And the sad thing is, and I'll give you an exact example, Cody, Wyoming. The newspaper there needs so many people for work. And yet I met and talked to a half a dozen different Democrats who all said, no, I can't get a job. No, nothing. The economy hasn't done anything for me. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. The orange-haired guy in the White House is a liar, blah, blah, blah. That's the Democrats. I could only talk to a couple of Republicans because, well, they were working. So it's that simple. And then down into Colorado, I got to tell you something. Colorado's a joke. Yes, there's a lot of work going on there. Not as much as Wyoming. But it is, you know, every car there has bumper stickers, is love trumps hate, resist. I mean, all of these platitudes that the communists have been making up to feed the socialists, who then feed the Democrats. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And that's all I saw in Colorado. I got lost in Denver for an hour. Too many new roads. And then I kept on heading south. I finally ended up in Texas. Everywhere in Texas, things are being built, being repaired, being built. Because it seems like America has two seasons. They have winter and they have construction. And this is, for now, this is still construction season. So I just wanted to let you guys know this. And there was more that I found out in my investigation on this trip. But, so let's get into the economy. First thing is, and I might have already talked to you about this, but Trump, when he first took office, he issued a Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. Security investigation on everything in the United States that's owned by foreign nations. And the biggest thing he saw was the port of Long Beach, which is owned by the Chinese. He forced them to sell. So the port of Long Beach, the Long Beach Harbor, is now owned again by United States interests. Now, I've told you many times about the pensions. And many of you out there have been screwed because you lost half your money or in your 401k, or your company has close down your pension? Well, the latest one is GE. GE is freezing pensions for about 200,000, no, let me rephrase that, for 20,000 employees. Of course, their stock surged right after that because, well, if you're not going to be paying pensions to people, well, you got more a higher profit line. They're also going to offer a limited lump sum buyout to about 100,000 former employees who have not started their monthly pension plan payments yet. This is just one little tiny example of the pension snafu that's been happening for the past, well, since the abomination took office. And that's what happens. The pensions just disappear. They go away. We had a friend of ours who worked for the post office. Now, that's a government agency, right? Except your pensions the post office uses your pension money that you've paid into over your period of time in the post office. They use your money to gamble in the stock market. And unfortunately, they're not gambling very well. So she had almost $600,000 in her 401k, and then it started slipping. The last time we heard, she had $289,000, and she said, to hell with it, and she quit the post office and demanded her money out right now. There was a penalty on that. I don't know what else has it. So I'm in Coeur d'Alene. 30 miles west of me is Spokane. During the time I was gone, my wife calls me up and says, do you know Spokane just had a snow? We just had snow here. And it was the snowiest that Spokane has been in 44 years. It is record-breaking for snow to fall that early. So far, in the past 3 weeks, the northwest area, Spokane, Washington, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, has broken records in snowfall, which has never been this early, and cold. I woke up the other day, it was 18 degrees outside. I kind of pissed off the cat, but... So we're already having records here, guys. Denver temperature dropped 60 degrees overnight. Overnight. I was reading an article. We sell CBD oil. And I continue to research this. Well, I was reading an article under PubMed about the clinical efficacy of cannabidiol treatment in osteoarthritic dogs. So, in other words, what it is that CBD is being used to treat arthritic dogs. You got a dog that's kind of limping a little bit, and they don't have to be old. We have clients here who have dogs that are 4 and 5 years old and are having a hard time walking. And the vets will call it hip dysplasia or something like that. But I can tell you, in reality, true CBD, not this crap that's sold in every coffee hut and 7-Eleven, but true CBD oil changes the life quality of your dog. We had a woman come in here whose dog, she said that the dog's going to die. It's old, it's 17 years old, and she doesn't believe in euthanasia. So she just wants it to die without so much pain because it could barely walk. So we have, This is astounding in the industry. Our CBD, 1 ounce, it's called Critter Care, is $25. That's all, $25. It has two ingredients. It has fractionated coconut oil, which is, in other words, coconut oil that's no smell or taste, and our CBD, which comes out of Kentucky, and it's 200 milligrams. That's all, $25. Not $89.95, not $169. None of these rip-offs that you find in vets' offices or on the internet. She buys it, and I could tell she didn't think that it would work because what do you get for $25? She comes back in a week, and she comes in, and she's like, I don't think it's going to die. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, it thinks it's a puppy now. It's jumping around. There's no pain. And it doesn't make the dog goofy or anything like that. And that's just one. That is just one example. We have vets sending their people to us to handle the pain in their dogs, cats. One lady uses it for miniature Shetland ponies. Another one uses it for pack horses. cats. My cat gets a little neurotic. It's too cold to go outside. So I give him a drop, and Felix calms right down. And again, it doesn't make him goofy. So, and if you guys are interested in it, you know, there's a website that I put together, cbdsupply.us. Charlie Bravo David, cbdsupply.us. You can go there and you can look. You can see the different products. And by the way, I'm going to give you a warning. There's a couple companies, CBD companies. One of them is CBD Labs. I don't know what the other one is. I just heard it in passing. Doing a massive advertisement, and it's a phony advertisement, pretending that they're some kind of experts in health, and they just happen to have a lot of questions of people asking them what's the best CBD that you should use, and they're obviously advertising their own. And this is being pushed. I heard it up here, and then I heard it in Wyoming, and then I heard it in New Mexico, and then I heard it in Texas, California, Nevada. They're pushing their ads big time. So what do? I do a little research. They have a phony website. None of the links work. You can only buy over the phone. And the stuff is being imported out of the UK. And just so you all know, the UK does not have a contingency plan for organic. In other words, they can't put organic on any product that comes out of the UK. And that's the same with China. And yet these people are claiming this stuff's organic. And it comes out of the UK. So it's just, it's an isolate. It's a cheap derivative of true CBD oil. Let's get into Islam. Well, I'll just do this quickly, because why waste time? Muslims do what Muslims do, and most of it they do with a vehicle or a knife. Germany, a Muslim drives a truck into crowds. England, another Muslim knife attack. France, Muslim knife attack. Nigeria was disgusting because they found a school to teach Muslims the Quran. And they found in this school 300 men and boys that were chained up. It was an Islamic boarding school where they were raped and starved to teach them the Quran. Now, everything that I'm talking to you about, I have the links for. And they'll be posted, armchairsurvivalist.com, under show notes. The Supreme Court's going to hear a case put forward by a girl who has been ordered in her school to write, well, the Islamic conversion creed. See, if a Muslim's threatening to kill you, then all you have to do is say, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Which means you just converted to Islam. And the girl refused to do that, and she got kicked out of school. So they took it to court, and now it's at the Supreme Court, and we know where that's going to go, because that's not appropriate. But this is part of what I'll talk about this later in the show. And this is what's happening, is they have to destroy Christianity, and they replace it with anything, if it doesn't have anything to do with white people, and that's what Christianity is. Even this idiot that calls himself Pope, that the Catholics have, says the Quran is misunderstood. It's a book of peace. No, he's not read it yet, but he believes his friends when they say that the Quran is a book of peace. And is in fact, he is about to, he's already authorized it. The Pope has already authorized an interfaith council to be created in, well, where else but Saudi Arabia, because that's where Islam is from, and that's where this peaceful religion is going to hold sway over Christianity and Judaism. This will be the headquarters of Chrislam, a mixture of Christianity and Islam, put forward by the Pope, the Catholic Pope. Now, we have a problem here in Idaho, in Twin Falls. There was a Muslim that came to the United States with lots of money, and he decided to make a yogurt company. I don't care. That's fine. But his employees are all Somalis. Nobody knew about this until we had an article a couple of years ago where three Somali children under the age of 12 raped and defecated on a 5-year-old white girl at an apartment complex. And then it turned out that their family are Somalis that were brought into the United States to work in the Chobani yogurt factory in Twin Falls, Idaho. It's all Muslims. And it's owned by Muslim, and that's what he hires, are Muslims. These people are these are the scum of Islam. Islam's bad enough, but when you have a Somali, they are the scum. And that's what he's bringing into Twin Falls, Idaho. I've noticed some food at Costco. Different packages of different stuff, and they have some Arabic writing on it. And I asked them, what does this mean? Oh, it's halal. What does that mean? It means Muslims can eat it. Yeah, well, so couldn't Muslims eat anything else? Well, I don't know. It's just, this is called halal. I want you to know what halal is.
I've lost count of the number of times people have told me that they would love to speak out against the Islamization of Western society, but they're afraid to. They're afraid of being stigmatized as a racist, of being arrested as a criminal, of damaging their career prospects, or even of losing their job. And of course, they're afraid of Muslim violence. If you're one of these people, and if, like me, you're dismayed at the effect Islam is having on our fundamental liberties by stifling public debate in this way, and if you believe that Islamophobia and the religion of peace are already strong contenders for the most shameless lie of the 21st century, but you feel too intimidated to say anything publicly, there is still something you can do, and the thought police can't touch you for it because nobody has to know. I make it a point of principle never to buy anything that's been certified halal. Because every time I see that word, I feel degraded by the cruelty of it and shamed by our society's moral cowardice in not banning it as a criminal activity like importing African bushmeat. In fact, there's a new noodle bar around the corner from me that I was quite looking forward to visiting until they thought it was a good idea to include the word halal on their shop front. Now, I wouldn't go in there if they gave away cup final tickets with every meal. My conscience simply won't allow it. The very idea filled me with deep moral repugnance. It's the nearest thing I can imagine to a sin, short of writing for the Guardian newspaper or staying sober at Christmas. The needless cruelty of halal slaughter is being allowed to bleed into Western society, not only by the current progressive consensus that all cultures are better than ours, but by food producers and retailers eager to grab the Muslim market, and who need to be reminded that the Muslim market is still a minority market and that the rest of us have more buying power. And it's important because halal is the implementation of Sharia. Along with Sharia-compliant finance, it's the thin end of a very much thicker wedge of Islamic cultural terrorism that has already, for example, rendered women's rights negotiable in Britain with the dozens of Sharia courts that now exist here. Politicians and the meat industry have connived against clear labelling, and halal meat has been routinely fed to people without their knowledge or consent in schools, in hospitals, and other public places. Recently here in Britain, we had two cases where school catering workers lost their jobs for accidentally serving non-halal meat to a Muslim child. In one case, in what was supposed to be a multi-faith school, yet where all the children are fed halal, whether they like it or not. The school authorities also offered a grovelling apology to the Muslim parents whose feelings had been so grievously wounded by this insult to their faith, as they put it. But there were no apologies, and there never are, for non-Muslim parents who may be insulted that their children in a supposedly multi-faith school are compulsorily fed meat from animals killed slowly and painfully for the sake of Muslim superstition. No apologies for them, because their feelings don't matter. Yet according to the Quran, halal meat is not even strictly compulsory for Muslims. If it isn't available, they can eat non-halal and Allah will forgive them. So there's no good reason why we should import it into our society at all when it violates our most basic standards of animal welfare, which are not particularly high in the first place. Didn't Gandhi say the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated? I wonder what he'd make of our moral progress here in halal Britain or America or Australia or any of the other so-called civilized countries that tolerate this practice. Halal slaughtered animals are killed by slitting their throats while fully conscious. They're hung upside down while still alive, and their bodies are drained of blood. They die in pain and they die in terror for the sake of superstition. Even if you don't see Islamization as a problem, surely you can boycott unnecessary cruelty, unless you don't have a problem with that, in which case maybe this whole thing isn't for you. Try not to drag your knuckles on the way out. But this isn't only about meat, far from it. Various Muslim Brotherhood front groups have devised a lucrative racket certifying non-meat foods as halal, and major companies have been lining up to pay them handsomely for certification. This is effectively an Islamic tax on food that goes towards funding the further expansion of Islam into Western society. So whatever you're buying in the supermarket, if it's just a tin of soup or a bag of sugar, it pays to check the label. You might only see a symbol like the letter M, framed by a crescent moon, which is the one used on Campbell's soups in Canada, for example, or you might just see the Arabic word for halal. Learn to recognize it on food packaging, and when you see it, just put that package back on the shelf. That's all you have to do. We all still have the freedom to reject this stuff from our personal experience if we want to, without making any fuss about it and without anyone even knowing. But by hitting these companies in the only place they care about, their pockets, we'll be making our statement as loudly as if we stood in the middle of the street shouting it through a megaphone. And all we have to do is read a few labels. There's nothing to be afraid of. We won't be censored, slandered, or arrested. And every time we do it, we'll be defending a culture worth defending and winning a small but essential victory for civilization over barbarism.
All right, let's get into the liberal psychosis now. There's a confusion, and this is being propagated by the Democrats. See, here's the thing. In the United States, you have communist organizations that promote Democrats. You have socialist organizations that promote Democrats. I mean, they work for them. In fact, almost every Democrat politician in the United States is a member, card-carrying member of the Democrat Socialists of America. So, you know, you say Democrat, communist, socialist, the words are interchangeable now. Well, it's about time that people actually start understanding the actual truth about what Democrats are, and that's one of the things, for some stupid reason, I feel like I have to do. So here's a clip that'll explain that.
When you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party comes to mind? The Republicans or the Democrats? Most people would probably say the Democrats, but this answer is incorrect. Since its founding in 1829, the Democratic Party has fought against every major civil rights initiative and has a long history of discrimination. The Democratic Party defended slavery, started the Civil War, opposed Reconstruction, founded the Ku Klux Klan, imposed segregation, perpetrated lynchings, and fought against the Civil Rights Acts of the 1950s and 1960s. In contrast, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an anti-slavery party. Its mission was to stop the spread of slavery into the new Western territories with the aim of abolishing it entirely. This effort, however, was dealt a major blow by the Supreme Court in the 1857 case, Dred Scott versus Sandfoot. The court ruled that slaves aren't citizens, they're property. The seven justices who voted in favor of slavery, all Democrats. The two justices who dissented, both Republicans. The slavery question was, of course, ultimately resolved by a bloody civil war. The commander-in-chief during that war was the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, the man who freed the slaves. 6 days after the Confederate Army surrendered, John Wilkes Booth, a Democrat, assassinated President Lincoln. Lincoln's vice president, a Democrat named Andrew Johnson, assumed the presidency. But Johnson adamantly opposed Lincoln's plan to integrate the newly freed slaves into the South's economic and social order. Johnson and the Democratic Party were unified in their opposition to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which gave blacks citizenship, and the 15th Amendment, which gave blacks the vote. All three passed only because of universal Republican support. During the era of Reconstruction, federal troops stationed in the South helped secure rights for the newly freed slaves. Hundreds of black men were elected to Southern state legislatures as Republicans, and 22 black Republicans served in the U.S. Congress by 1900. The Democrats did not elect a black man to Congress until 1935. But after Reconstruction ended, when the federal troops went home, Democrats roared back into power in the South. They quickly reestablished white supremacy across the region with measures like black codes, laws that restricted the ability of blacks to own property and run businesses, and they imposed poll taxes and literacy tests used to subvert black citizens' right to vote. And how was all of this enforced? By terror, much of it instigated by the Ku Klux Klan, founded by a Democrat, Nathan Bedford Forrest. As historian Eric Foner, himself a Democrat, notes, in effect, the Klan was a military force serving the interests of the Democratic Party. President Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, shared many views with the Klan. He resegregated many federal agencies and even screened the first movie ever played at the White House, the racist film, The Birth of a Nation, originally entitled The Klansman. A few decades later, the only serious congressional opposition to the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964 came from Democrats. 80% of Republicans in Congress supported the bill, less than 70% of Democrats did. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for 75 days until Republicans mustered the few extra votes needed to break the logjam. And when all of their efforts to enslave blacks, keep them enslaved, and then keep them from voting had failed, the Democrats came up with a new strategy. If black people are going to vote, they might as well vote for Democrats, as President Lyndon Johnson was purported to have said about the Civil Rights Act, I'll have them voting Democrat for 200 years. So now, the Democratic Party prospers on the votes of the very people it has spent much of its history oppressing. Democrats falsely claim that the Republican Party is the villain, when in reality, it's the failed policies of the Democratic Party that have kept blacks down. Massive government welfare has decimated the black family. Opposition to school choice has kept them trapped in failing schools. Politically correct policing has left black neighborhoods defenseless against violent crime. So when you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party should come to mind? I'm Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University.
All right, still under the category of liberal psychosis, there's just too many things here that I could make a dozen shows. Well, let's see. A black man was convicted of raping and murdering his daughter, and he blamed the white man for slavery and subjugating him, and that's why he did it. Elizabeth Warren wants $1 trillion in climate reparations to blacks because of blacks being what they are. Now, this is the thing that people don't quite get, is that Democrats are the racists, and they think that blacks are really stupid people. And blacks would live in areas where the climate change has affected them worse in hundreds and hundreds of years. So she wants $1 trillion. Let's see. The Foreign Nation District of Columbia is going to rename Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. Okay. Well, let's see. So some of these undocumented, what do they call them? Immigrants? And it's been proven now, they're actually buying babies in various parts of South America and using them to get into the United States. And here's an article on one, paid $80 for a baby. And it actually lived, which was good. The nation of California has declared that ham radio is no longer functional or appropriate. So they're no longer going to be funding ham radio, emergency radio equipment whatsoever in the state of California. And you know the communist that owns Dick's Sporting Goods, the CEO there, stopped selling firearms. I have a good friend of mine who works for Dick's, and he doesn't care. He just needs the money. So he works for him. The guy's name is Ed Stack, and he is one of the elitists. He's part of the establishment. And he stop selling the evil black guns. And as a matter of fact, he said he pulled them off the shelf. And then he turns around and says he scrapped $5 million of his own inventory to make a statement. I happen to have a listener who works for Dick's Sporting Goods in the firearms department. Let me tell you what they actually did, because the CEO is a liar, which is standard for Democrats. So the AR-15. Now, what the ATF has decided that a firearm is that part of the gun that has the serial number stamped on it. On an AR-15, that's the lower receiver. This is the piece that you can buy for $40. So what they did was they took the uppers off. They disassembled the parts from the lower receiver, which is about a $40 wholesale piece. And then they cut that in half. And they sold everything else. So this guy didn't destroy $5 million of stuff, of guns. He probably destroyed, I don't know, $100,000 worth. This is propaganda, pure and simple. Oh, you're going to love this one. This makes a point so clearly. There's nothing else. I can't say anything else about this one. An Oak Park trustee. They have city council members, in other words. If you're liberal, if you're a communist or a socialist, it doesn't matter if you're white. So they're having a meeting. Let's see, the mayor is a Muslim, and she's talking to him during this meeting, and it got a little hot.
I don't want to hear what you have to say. You shouldn't have an opinion. You have been white from birth. Why are you arguing? What is a system of oppression? You've never experienced one. So shut up. And you stop it. You are a white male. Stop it. You are a white male. Your skin is light enough.
I think if we reduce these conversations to nobody cares what you have to say because you're a white male, I don't think we're doing this right.
So the Muslim mayor was being attacked by the socialist female who was ranting and raving. It was everybody there was embarrassed except her and the other social justice warriors that were in the audience, by the way. Well, let's see. So 40% of adults are stressed. Yeah, and that's because of how they were raised. I never grasped the concept of getting stressed, especially at work type thing. If I was stressed at work, I don't care what it is, I'd go to my supervisor and talk to them about it, and if all else failed, I'd quit. No big deal. I didn't get stressed. It's just sometimes things change and have to be handled and addressed properly. The way that our society has been degenerated over the past 100 years, it's no wonder people are stressed, because they're never taught how to handle anything in any way, shape, or form that they come up against. If you have a problem, you have to stop and give up, or you have to ask somebody's help, not get up off your butt and figure it out. In fact, it's so bad that 20% of the population, of the whole population in the United States, thinks they have anxiety. The push from the psychs, it's worked. It's totally, totally worked in the United States. People believe that they have succumbed to everything, and everything is causing them anxiety. CBD helps. I can tell you that, okay? Trump. Now, we're going into the Trump category real quick. Yes, I told you he got rid of the major Chinese owning the port of Long Beach. He's also decided to cut funding to the UN. Now, that's the first step. Getting us out of the UN is the final step, but he's cut funding, and it's way more than people think. And have you seen anything about this on the news? Well, here's a little clip.
In what would be an unprecedented retreat of U.S. commitments overseas, the White House wants to slash foreign aid to the United Nations and other world bodies. The deep cuts amount to about $20 billion in funding, a whopping 37% cut to the budget for the State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development. Funding for the UN peacekeeping and development assistance cut nearly in half, and payments to other international groups dramatically reduced.
The budget takes the policies that President Trump laid out on the campaign trail and turns them into numbers. That's it. That's all it does. What did the president say on the campaign trail? I am going to spend more money on defense. I'm going to spend more money enforcing the border.
President Trump forewarned deep cuts to foreign aid at a conference of conservatives last month.
This is the United States of America that I'm representing. I'm not representing the globe. I'm representing your country.
And his new ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, says the era of the U.S. shouldering the burden is over.
We contribute 22% of the UN's budget, far more than any other country. We have to start encouraging other countries to have skin in the game.
Now it's time for the next installment of The Way to Happiness, A Common Sense Guide to Better Living. This is 21 precepts. A precept is a guiding principle or rule that's used to control, influence, guide, or regulate your conduct. If this little booklet had been followed by everyone in the United States, we wouldn't be where we are right now in any way, shape, or form. Well, we've already done number one and number two. Now we're on number three. Don't be promiscuous. Sex is the means by which the race projects itself into the future through children and the family. A lot of pleasure and happiness can come from sex. Nature intended it that way so the race could go on. But misused or abused, it carries with it heavy penalties and punishments. Nature seems to have intended it that way also. Section 1. Be faithful to your sexual partner. Unfaithfulness on the part of a sexual partner can heavily reduce one's survival. History and the newspapers carry floods of instances of the violence of human passions aroused by unfaithfulness. Guilt is the milder evil. Jealousy and vengeance are the greater monsters. One never knows when they'll cease to sleep. It's all very well to speak of being civilized and uninhibited and understanding. No talk will mend ruined lives. A feeling of guilt is nowhere near as sharp as a knife in the back, ground glass in a soup. Additionally, there's a question of health. If you do not insist upon faithfulness from a sexual partner, you lay yourself open to disease. If you do not insist upon faithfulness from a sexual partner, you lay yourself open to disease. For a very brief period, it was said that sexual diseases were all under control. This is not now the case, if it ever was. Incurable strains of such diseases now exist. And just so you know, sexually transmitted diseases are at an all-time high in the United States. The problems of sexual misbehavior are not new. The powerful religion of Buddhism in India vanished from there in the 7th century. According to its own historians, the cause was sexual promiscuity in its monasteries. More modernly, when sexual promiscuity becomes prevalent in an organization, commercial or otherwise, the organization can be seen to fail. No matter how civilized their discussions about it, families shatter in the face of unfaithfulness. The urge of the moment can become the sorrow of a lifetime. Impress those around you with that and safeguard your own health and pleasure. Sex is a big step on the way to happiness and joy. There is nothing wrong with it if it's followed with faithfulness and decency. Very simple. Easy to understand. Now we're under government threat. That's the category. I have some bad news is that Fox News is no longer conservative. Robert Murdoch handed it off to his socialist son. And if you haven't figured this out for yourself by now, it's easy to see. Every one of the shows has balanced commentators on there. In other words, socialist commentators. So you have a conservative and a socialist. Never used to be that way. Fox was the only conservative news show there was. Now there's just a few of the hosts on there that are still conservative. Fox is gone. Drudge, by the way, Drudge Report. Drudge is now succumbed to money. And what happens is Drudge Report uses Google ads. To get money from Google on their ads, you have to conform to their anti-hate speech and their balance. So you have to have as much pro as you do con on there. It just... So both Fox and Drudge is gone now. It's wide open. If somebody wants to open up an actual conservative news outlet, be my guest. You can do that. There's a big thing happening now in the United States with China. First off, the NBA, one of the managers of the somebody in the National Basketball Association, mentioned something about Hong Kong and stuff like that, and the Chinese government said, either retract that or we're going to cancel all NBA activity in China. No First Amendment rights for anyone anywhere in the world when it comes to do with China. The NBA, being a socialist organization, said, sure, no problem. China's been pushing hard against anyone who says anything in any way, shape, or form about pro-Hong Kong or against China. Now, do yourself a favor. Those of you who watch South Park, go and watch the 300th episode of South Park, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. But it's getting out of hand, and too many of the organizations in the United States are kowtowing to the Chinese and saying, yes, we will conform to whatever you say because you have so much money. China controls the United States. This is shown to be true. Unfortunately, too many people are agreeing with it and following what China says to them. It's astounding. China said to Google, we want you to ban anyone who says anything about Hong Kong on all of your platforms. Not just in China, but all over the world. Google's doing that. YouTube's doing that. Twitter's doing that. They're all doing that. In a minute, you'll find out why they're all doing that. The category we're going to go into now, I titled The Plan. I discovered a file on my computer that I hadn't looked at in 15 years. You know I've been on radio for over 20 years now, and one of my listeners, 15 years ago, I'm guessing, sent me this file. And he said, this is some data that doesn't exist now, hard to find, and you might want to poke around in it. I forgot about it. I hid it in another file, on another drive, on another file. I mean, it was lost. I found it, and I started looking through it. And for 2 days, I was in shock, and that's the nicest way I could put this from what I discovered in there. I discovered bunches of books and committee notes and news clippings that had been scanned and copied years ago. And some of these books had been published, and they had their Library of Congress number, and these books are magically disappeared from the Library of Congress. So just so you know, at the end of the show, within the next few days, I'm going to have my show notes up. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see show notes. You click on that and go to any of the shows that you're interested in, and those pages will show you all the source material that I use when I talk about stuff. I'm going to put these books up there so that you guys can download them. I don't know how long they're going to be up there or if something is going to happen to my server, but I'm going to put them up there. They're PDF, so that's what you'll need Adobe Acrobat to read them. Anyway, this is going to be called The Plan, and it's going to be kind of disjointed because I just flat don't have the time to spend over a year putting all this data together so that everybody can listen to it in a couple hours. So I'm going to have some clips to play. Now, beginning of this is just basically going to be a clip, the difference between a republic and democracy. Now, this is something that is past the stage of vital for people to understand. They give it lip service, but that's not good enough. You hear the ignorant and the Democrats use the word democracy all the time. Yet when you travel back in time, you find the founding fathers abhorred the concept of democracy because democracy was mob rule. But that's what the Democrats want. Now, the Democrats in the United States, and you'll discover this, they're Democrats only by name. In reality, they are socialists. And the only reason I can't call them communists yet is because they haven't won. Once they win, then they create communism, which is socialism at the muzzle of a rifle.
When Benjamin Franklin exited the Constitutional Convention, he was asked by a woman, "Sir, What have you given us? His immediate response was, a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. Yet most Americans today have been persuaded that our nation's governmental system is a democracy and not a republic. The difference between these two is essential in understanding Americanism and the American system. Before we discuss political systems, however, it's helpful to address the confusion that has been spread about the political spectrum. Many have been led to believe that the political spectrum places groups such as communists on the far left, fascists or dictators on the far right, and political moderates or centrists in the middle. However, a more accurate political spectrum will show government having zero power on the far right to having 100% power on the far left. At the extreme right, there is no government. The extreme left features total government under such labels as communism, socialism, Nazism, fascism, princes, potentates, dictators, kings, any form of total government. Those who claim that Nazis and fascists are right-wing never define their terms. This amounts to spreading confusion. Toward the middle of the political spectrum can be found the type of government limited to its proper role of protecting the rights of the people. That's where the Constitution of the United States is. Those who advocate such a form of government are really constitutional moderates. So let's analyze the basic forms of government. They are monarchy or dictatorship ruled by one, oligarchy ruled by a few, democracy ruled by a majority, republic ruled by law, and anarchy, which is ruled by no one. In discussing these five, we'll see that they can be narrowed down to even fewer. Looking first at monarchy or dictatorship, this form of government doesn't really exist in the practical sense. It's always a group that puts one of its members up front. A king has his council of nobles or earls, and every dictator has his bureaucrats or commissars, the men behind the scenes. This isn't ruled by one, even though one person may be the visible leader. It's ruled by a group. So let's eliminate monarchy, dictatorship, because it never truly exists. Oligarchy, which is ruled by a group, is the most common form of government in all history, and it is the most common form of government today. Most of the nations of the world are ruled by a powerful few, and therefore oligarchy remains. At the other end, we find anarchy, which means without government. Some people have looked over history and found that many of its worst crimes were committed by governments. So they decided that having no government might be a good idea. But this is a mistake, because as the ancient Greeks stated, without law there can be no freedom. Our founding fathers agreed and held that some amount of government is a necessary force in any civilized, orderly society. In a state of anarchy, however, everyone has to guard life, liberty, and property, and the lives of family members. Everyone must be armed, and movement is severely restricted because one's property has to be protected at all times. Civilized people have always hired someone to do the guarding, a sheriff, a police force, or some branch of government. Once law enforcement was in place, the people were freer. They could leave their property, work in the fields, and so on. In short, the proper amount of government makes everyone freer. There are some who advocate anarchy, however, not because they want no government, but because they don't like what they have. They use anarchy as a tool for revolutionary change. The condition of anarchy is very much like a vacuum where something rushes in to fill it. These calculating anarchists work to break down the existing government with rioting, killing, looting, and terrorism. Tragically, the people living in such chaos often go to those best able to put an end to it and beg them to take over and restore order. And who is best able to put an end to the chaos? The very people who started it. The anarchists who created the problem then create a government run by them, an oligarchy, where they have total power. This is exactly what happened in Russia that led to Lenin taking total power, and in Germany where Hitler's brown shirts created the chaos that brought him to power. But anarchy isn't a stable form of government. It's a quick transition from something that exists to something desired by the power hungry. It's a temporary condition, and because it isn't permanent, we eliminate it as well. The word democracy comes from two Greek words, demos, meaning people, and kratian, meaning to rule. Democracy, therefore, means the rule of the people, majority rule. This, of course, sounds good, but suppose the majority decides to take away one's home, or business, or children. Obviously, there has to be a limit. The flaw in democracy is that the majority isn't restrained. If more than half the people can be persuaded to want something in a democracy, they rule. What about republic? Well, that comes from the Latin, res meaning thing, and publica meaning public. It means the public thing, the law. A true republic is one where the government is limited by law, leaving the people alone. America's founders had a clean slate to write on. They could have set up an oligarchy. In fact, there were some who wanted George Washington to be their king. But the founding fathers knew history, and they chose to give us the rule of law in a republic, not the rule of a majority in a democracy. Why? Let's demonstrate the difference in the setting of the Old West. Consider a lynch mob in a democracy. 35 horseback riders chase one lone gunman. They catch him, and they vote 35-1 to hang him. Democracy has triumphed, and there's one less gunman to contend with. Now consider the same scenario in a republic. The 35 horseback riders catch the gunman and vote 35-1 to hang him. But the sheriff arrives, and he says, "You can't kill him. He's got his right to a fair trial." So they take the gunman back to town. A jury of his peers is selected, and they hear the evidence and the defense, and they decide if he shall hang. Does the jury even decide by majority rule? No, it has to be unanimous, or he goes free. The rights of the gunman aren't subject to majority rule, but to the law. This is the essence of a republic. Many Americans would be surprised to learn that the word democracy does not appear in the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution, nor does it appear in any of the constitutions of the 50 states. The founders did everything they could to keep us from having a democracy. James Madison, rightly known as the father of the Constitution, wrote in Essay No. 10 of the Federalist Papers, "Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths." Alexander Hamilton agreed, and he stated, "We are a republican government. Real liberty is never found in despotism or in the extremes of democracy." Samuel Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, stated, "Democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself." The founders had good reason to look upon democracy with contempt because they knew that the democracies in the early Greek city-states produced some of the wildest excesses of government imaginable. In every case, they ended up with mob rule, then anarchy, and finally tyranny under an oligarchy. During that period in Greece, there was a man named Solon who urged creation of a fixed body of law not subject to majority whims. But where the Greeks never adopted Solon's wise counsel, the Romans did. Based on what they knew of Solon's laws, they created the 12 tables of the Roman law and, in effect, built a republic that limited government power and left the people alone. Since government was limited, the people were free to produce, with the understanding that they could keep the fruits of their labor. In time, Rome became wealthy and the envy of the world. In the midst of plenty, however, the Roman people forgot what freedom entailed. They forgot that the essence of freedom is the proper limitation of government. When government power grows, people freedom recedes. Once the Romans dropped their guard, power-seeking politicians began to exceed the powers granted them in the Roman Constitution. Some learned that they could elect politicians who would use government power to take property from some and give it to others. Agriculture subsidies were introduced, followed by housing and welfare programs. Inevitably, taxes rose and controls over the private sector were imposed. Soon, a number of Rome's producers could no longer make ends meet, and they went on the dole. Productivity declined, shortages developed, and mobs began roaming the streets, demanding bread and circuses from the government. Many were induced to trade freedom for security. Eventually, the whole system came crashing down. They went from a republic to a democracy and ended up with an oligarchy under a progression of the Caesars. Thus, democracy itself is not a stable form of government. Instead, it is the gradual transition from limited government to the unlimited rule of an oligarchy. Knowing this, we as Americans are ultimately left with only two choices. We can keep our republic, as Franklin put it, or we will inevitably end up with an oligarchy, a tyranny of the elite.
All right, so I hope that got the point across to you. Now, I have notes here that I'm going to read from. And I'm going to do my best to put this stuff in order so that it makes some kind of sense. We're going to go back to 1776. In fact, May of 1776. An elitist by the name of... Now, here's the thing that you need that to understand. The term elitist would refer to those who ruled, those who had control. These are the people who were born with a silver spoon in their mouth or whatever. They were the elite, in other words. And one of them was a guy named Adam Weishaupt, W-E-I-S-H-A-U-P-T. Some of you might know that name. Him and his cohorts realized that the United States, which was going to be the creation of a new world order for all of them to control and to milk because of the resources in America, they discovered and realized that their plans were going to fail because we were a little bit contrary and decided to become a free nation. So 2 months before the Declaration of Independence in 1776, this guy created this organization. Now, the members had been around for thousands and thousands of years in various secret societies. He brought them all together under the umbrella of the word Illuminati. This, before the concept, before the word socialism existed, the concept of socialism has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And that socialism basically is where a small but elite group owns and rules everything. So this is the goal of the Illuminati, was to basically infiltrate all nations and create the new world order along the guidelines that they had put together. Now, these people, and this is funny, when I'm reading these books and things, here today with Trump, he uses the words deep state. When I was a kid, it was the establishment. We called it the establishment. The establishment wants to control everything. The establishment wants to rule and tell you what to do, when to do, how to do it, blah, blah, blah. That's not new. That was created hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The establishment would be considered liberals, what they call liberals nowadays. The counter-establishment is what you would call conservatives. And it's hard to wrap your head around this. All liberals are part of the establishment. Not all conservatives are part of the counter-establishment, because an establishment person is somebody who makes their living off of government one way or the other and has a little bit of power, and they don't want to lose it, and they don't really care who's the president, whether it's a Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever. All they want is their little bit of heaven, and they'll do anything and everything in their power to make sure they keep it, up to and including murder, treason. Well, you get the idea. This was 1776. I'm going to read some dates here. 1780, an Illuminati member, Robert Reich, formed the Sunday schools. You ever go to Sunday school? I did when I was a kid. Do you know, the Sunday schools were created, had nothing to do with religion. According to Robert Reiches, R-A-I-K-E-S, they were formed so that kids would be off the streets on Sunday and wouldn't cause problems. I'm serious. They had nothing to do with religion. Over the years, Sunday school got caught up in religion. In 1792, the Democratic Republican Party was formed. Now, the Founding Fathers never had a concept of parties, because logic is logic. If it's good for the country, it's good for the country. But unfortunately, different people had different ideas what was good for the country. So in 1792, the Democratic Republican Party was formed. In 1820, work started, and this is all funded and controlled by Illuminati members. Work started to change moral order to social order. Now, you think this is new, this social justice warriors BS that we're suffering through for the past few years. No, no, no. It's old. It's hundreds of years old. The moral order was how everybody existed in the United States. In fact, worldwide. You did things in accordance with what you felt was ethical and moral, and you didn't do things that were immoral. But they started to change that in 1820, and I mean big time. All kinds of groups were formed. Now they wanted the social order. In other words, instead of what's best for the society, they wanted to create what's best for the individual. And this is all in preparation for the one world government. And they wanted a one world government, one world religion, one world money, economy, meaning if I'm in America and I get paid $50, I could take that $50 to Belgium and it'd still be $50. So they wanted all of those, government, religion, and money. In 1828, the Democrat-Republican Party split because the Democrats wanted slavery. Their whole push was slavery, because they figured the economy can really boom if we get a bunch of slaves in here and keep slaves. So the Republicans, being the anti-slavery party, split from the Democrats. In 1829, openly socialistic organizations and societies were formed. They called the Fannie Wright Societies. These were societies that were founded by Fannie Wright. And she was an atheist. She was literally anti-American, anti-male. She was pure, disgusting feminist. And then they had, for the men, the Working Man's Party, which is another socialist party. And the whole intent for both of these groups was to remove religion from schools, totally, and to push more for the social order as opposed to the moral order. In 1848, now they've been following this guy named Karl Marx, by the way, and in 1848, Karl Marx came out with the Communist Manifesto. Now, he'd been preaching communism for the past 20 years, and this is where Fanny Wright and those people pulled into the whole game. In 1849, now remember, all of this I'm reading you was formed by Illuminati members and pushed by them and funded by them with the full intent to create a new world order and the destruction of the moral order that America was founded on. In 1849, the National Teachers Association was formed. Now it's called the NEA, National Education Association, to promote universal education, not American education. Now, there's a difference here. Universal education is generic crap that's pulled in from all over the world. American education is what, prior to 1849, 1850, was what the American children were taught. 1902, Rockefeller founded the General Education Board, and this is where it all started to go to hell, because the elite realized that they had plenty of money, in fact, more than enough, to start taking over not only the government, but society. In 1903, the Religious Education Association, and this is, you love this, how the socialists use these words, Religious Education Association. Well, their education they wanted to do was to create a one-world religion. The Democratic Party, they chose that name to confuse the ignorant, because they pushed the idea of democracy or mob rule. Wherever they went, they spread racism, they spread hate, they spread fear. The Democrats started the Civil War. We'll get into that in a little bit. And basically what they've been pushing, the philosophy of the Democrats has always been the same, that the common man is too stupid to grasp how life should be. So the Democrats have to control him. Democrats have to push for government control of all facets. Now, this is what I've got from these books. Now, when I'm talking about these books, quote unquote, I'm talking about stuff that's written 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s, even all up to 1975. Democrats who want the abolition of private property. They believe man has no soul, so can be murdered from inception up to and including right after birth. Man's thoughts determines his gender. Sexual psychosis is 100% acceptable. There are no borders. White men and Republicans are the cause of all ills. Now, this Karl Marx said, accuse your enemy of what you're doing as you are doing it to create confusion. That's what the Democrats do. You can see that every single day. Only the elite or their guards should have weapons. Now, this goes back thousands of years, and I'm not just talking guns. I'm knives, swords, crossbows, longbows, iron swords, bronze swords, steel swords. This is the way it's been for thousands and thousands of years, because the elite know that eventually everyone will reach their tipping point and start killing them. History, by the way, is fluid and should be changed to validate current thinking. George Orwell, 1984 writer, said, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." And the Democrats control all schools in the United States. The Constitution is worthless unless it's used to defend their perversions. Morals are just words and have no meaning in today's society. U.S. citizens have no more rights than criminal aliens. Christianity should be destroyed in all its forms. Democrats don't just hate Christianity. They promote godlessness. Anything that attacks whites, men, Christians, patriots, or Americans has a higher value. Reality and truth have no place in their lives. Now this, I've seen this. I've seen some of these creatures that are running for office under the Democrat handle. I've seen somebody give them facts and them say, I don't want to use those facts. I believe in my heart other things instead. I'm like, now here is the thing, and this is the big thing. In the 30s, Democrats realized that victims are their best voting base. So they will accuse your enemy of what they are doing as they're doing it and claim that Republicans are racist. And they made blacks into permanent victim class. And I mean permanent. And anyone who can be a victim. If you owe money to anyone, if you're a woman, a Mexican, a Muslim, a black, a sexual pervert, an illegal drug user, a psychopath, too lazy to get a job, or if you just want to breed for welfare, you're a victim. Islam is safe and should be promoted as it's not based on white. Now, there's three types of Democrats. You have the elite who do or want to rule. And these are now, this is not just Democrats. These are both Democrats and Republicans. They only want power, money, and sex. And they do anything to keep their position secure in all administrations. They'll lie, cheat, steal, murder, bribe, threaten, blackmail, or worse. And we see this. And this is what confuses people. Because you see Trump being attacked by all Democrats and some Republicans. And you think, what the hell is going on? He must be really bad if some Republicans are on him, after him, at him. Until you realize their establishment. Or as he puts it, deep state. But the Illuminati used the term establishment. Okay, then you have the minions. These are the ones who are hate-filled racists, anarchists, thugs, criminals. They know the evil they're doing. They know it. They work for the elite. They're paid well or get special benefits. And these are professors, teachers, city council members, county administrators, law enforcement, military, whether they know it or not, they're actually working to push the agenda of one world government. Now, that sounds kind of ridiculous to keep saying the one world government, but you know what? When you go back hundreds of years and you see the Illuminati founders using that term, And then you have the useful idiots. Karl Marx said the useful idiots. These are the Democrats who do the voting, rioting, screaming, protesting, etc. They're easily led by promised payments of some kind, welfare, food stamps, student loans, or other government assistance or pay. These are the majority of the social justice warriors you see on Facebooks. These are the idiots that get in arguments with anyone who doesn't agree with them. They're known as cannon fodder in the wars the elites wage. Normally, these wars entail bullets, but now it's propaganda. The Democrats truly believe that everyone is as stupid and successfully propagandized as their useful idiots are. They truly believe that. They believe that we're all just as stupid as they are. So they no longer, now this is new. This part here is new, so they no longer feel the need to hide their hate for America. While they keep up their chronic attack on all things American, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, this is the abomination's best friend, the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Maintain. Now we're talking, this is pure socialism. The actions are communistic. Now, you got to understand how this works. This is a volume knob, and it has 10 points on it, like a radio volume knob, right? At zero, it's called Democrat. As it turns up, when it gets to four, that's socialism. And as you crank it up to nine, that's communism. It's the same exact thing. Now, the Democrats really feel that they no longer need to hide how they really feel about everyone but them. And this is what we're seeing. This, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. This will lead to a civil war. It's already starting, and it's mostly teenagers and young adults that go to Trump rallies or they go to other things, you know, peaceful. They would be peaceful, except the socialists cannot allow that. They have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. In 1963, a congresswoman read something at morning session about 22 key goals of communism in America. Little did she know that these goals had been developed hundreds of years earlier. I'm going to read them to you. Number one, do away with all loyalty oaths. You see that in Democrats now. They're pushing to do away with all loyalty oaths whatsoever. They'll claim, oh, that's you're trying to have somebody swear loyalty to the president, blah, blah, blah. Number two, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. You see all of these things. This is 1963. Get control of teachers' association. Little did she know they were already under the control of the communists. Number three, gain control of all student newspapers. That's done. Four, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Five, infiltrate the press. That's definitely done. All mainstream media in the United States is controlled by communists. Six, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Seven, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Yeah. Come to Coeur d'Alene sometime. Drive downtown. They took out all the statues and they put weird crap in there that they paid my taxes for. Eight, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Nine, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. And now, in your library, they have sexual perverts reading books to children. 10. Present homosexuality, degeneration, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 11. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what's happened to about 95% of all the churches in the United States. It definitely has happened to the Catholic Church, starting with the Pope. Number 12, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Number 13, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Now remember what I said, this is 1963. 14, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Number 15, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. 16, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. 17, infiltrate and gain control of big business. Well, let's see. Google, YouTube, Twitter. 18, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. 19, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. Have you heard of the red flag laws? Number 20, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Well, you know what I think about that. 21, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. 22, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. That student and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. This wasn't something that this woman wrote. This is something she copied. Tell me something. How many of these have you seen accomplished already, to one degree or another? For years, I've called this conspiracy by coincidence. I'm thinking to myself, how could these people over in this section, and people over here, and people thousands of miles over here, all think the same thing and want the same thing? How is that possible? It's just got to be a coincidence. And then when I started reading these booklets and files, I realized it's not a coincidence. These people were trained that way. This is what Democrats are. And this is what the establishment is. And the bad thing, the thing that brings tears to my eyes, is what they've done to children. And they've been doing to children for over 125 years that I know of. Under the plan, there's a section I'm calling School Perversion. And I'm going to play you a clip that I just called Dumbing Down.
In 1879, Wilhelm Wundt, the father of psychology, decided that man had no soul. Man was just a stimulus response animal with no self-determinism. He needed to be trained like any other animal. Supply the correct stimulus, you get the correct response, just like rats or dogs. In the early 1900s, Teachers College taught teachers the new science of psychology. These new methods of teaching would devalue academics and concentrate on behavioral techniques to mold children's values. Schools would be turned into mini psych clinics. The Rockefeller Foundation backed Teachers College, and new educators like Edward Lee Thorndike, James Earl Russell, and John Dewey, who were disciples of Wundt. Together, they rewrote textbooks and curriculum for the new American education system. This system got away from learning to sound out words using a method called phonics. It was old and too difficult, they said. They now use a new method called look-see, or whole word. All you had to do was recognize words by the way they looked, instead of learning to sound them out. And even though reading levels took a nosedive, they continued to push these new methods. They hired professional educators that believed history and geography were unnecessary burdens on young minds. Children should concentrate more on how they feel about history rather than memorizing unnecessary facts. And most importantly, the teachers and counselors should be the ones to teach moral values to the children, not the children's own parents. Parents were not professionals. 1965. passage of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, the number of educational psychologists in schools rise from 455 in 1969 to 16,146 in 1992. Probably just coincidentally, the number of child murderers and suicides skyrocketed as well. Certain members of the government were overjoyed with this new form of education. Controlling the behavior of people, keeping them dumb, they could pass any laws they wanted and no one would even know. Now the program was complete. Dumb them down, fill them with drugs, then indoctrinate them with facts they no longer have the power to refute.
We're seeing a society that not only has a lot more people of lower IQ, but a lot fewer people of higher IQ. In other words, a dumbing down, a chemical dumbing down of society. So everyone's sort of mediocre. That leaves them dependent on government because they can't excel. We have these people of lower IQ who are totally dependent. Then we have this mass of people who are going to believe anything they're told because they can't really think clearly. And very few people of very high IQ who have good cognitive function who can figure this all out. And that's what they want. You can kind of piece it together as to why they are so insistent in spending so many hundreds of millions of dollars of propaganda money to dumb down society.
You might want to ask yourself why the entire culture is utterly saturated with mass media entertainment from all sides, while the educational system in America continues its stupefying downward slide since the U.S. government decided to take over and subsidize the public school system.
What your government pays for, it gets. When we understand that, then we look at government-financed institutions of education, and turned out by these government-financed schools, logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind in entertained, so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it.
We're in a lot of trouble
because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now, because less than 3% of you people read books. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And when the largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You drink like the tube, you eat like the tube, you raise your children like the tube, you even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniac. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
The last thing the men behind the curtain want is a conscious, informed public capable of critical thinking. They seek to keep you in a distracted, naive bubble, and they are doing a damn good job of it.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. Same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care.
The basic concept of Democrats is that your children are screwed. There's nothing you can do about it. This is what's going to happen to them. And this is a rule of life, is that everything Democrats touch, they ruin. Art, music, Christianity, Judaism, race, religion, relations, male-female relations, universities, high schools, elementary schools, late-night comedy, sports, liberty, journalism, the Boy Scouts, national economics, language, and just pretty much anything a Democrat touches, it goes to hell. And to this list, now we can add childhood and children. Democrats, they rob your children of innocence, and they help produce an unprecedented number of anxious and depressed young people. This is proven all over the place, especially here in our store in Hayden. We sell CBD, a special CBD. This is not the same garbage that everybody else is selling out there. People come in here, we get 20 people a day, and they're all in their 20s and 30s, even 50s and 60s, say they have quote-unquote anxiety, and they don't want to do drugs. So we give them this very low dose of CBD oil, and it handles it for them. The problem is that the Democrats, the whole concept here of the, and this is, again, to me was kind of astounding. And literally, I hear, for years I would say, oh, they're all the same. Democrats, Republicans, they're both sides of a coin. No, they're not. Democrats are socialists. They all are. And they all have a goal of complete domination of society, because we're just too damn stupid to run it for ourselves, so they have to do it for us. So they started off, and this is years ago, and I remember this as a child, they started off with sex education. And that was just the beginning. Then they changed the college dorms. I remember this when I was in college. They had a men's dorm and a women's dorm. Well, they changed that and said, it's co-ed, everything's cool. And then co-ed bathrooms. Then they introduced sex columns in college newspapers and sex week on virtually every college campus. And then they wonder why there's so many rapes in college. And then they devalued marriage. There's no question about that. This is, you know, you don't need to get married anymore. You can have all the sex you want. Nobody needs to get married. Why would you get married? Women are better than men are, so you don't have to hook up with a man to have a family. For that matter, they've devalued having children. They don't want you to have children. As a matter of fact, they want you to kill your child. Let's just have a baby, pop it out, and watch it die. Well, yes, they're just destroying the children so they no longer have joys or excitement of growing up into being a man or a woman. When you go to my website, armchairsurvivalist.com, you're going to see show notes on the left-hand side. I've already explained that to you. This is an article. Basically, I titled it, Your Children Are Screwed. I don't really want to go into any further than what I have, because it's all right there in front of your face so that you can look at it and see it. The problem is that None are so blind as those that will not see. So you get a Democrat and you show them this data, and then you show them the background verification and support data, and they will claim it doesn't exist, or they'll claim it's biased, or they'll claim we just created it for our own benefit. Reality is not a part of their life in any way, shape, or form. Let's see. Here's how they affect us, okay? Catholic school, they put on plays. And they got in trouble because there was, and this is in Canada, there was the Catholic school district canceled performance of a play about gender identity for five-year-olds. And they got in trouble because of it. Now this is, you have these preachers in all countries. In the United States, they're called Democrats. Other places, they would be called liberals or socialists. When I was a kid, they were called psychotics. There was a student, and this is how they invalidate, and it's chronic. They keep it up. They keep it up. They keep it up. A student was penalized for using the word man on an essay. His instructor said, no, you have to be gender inclusive. Well, he ended up suing and winning the right to use the proper word. There's another level of psychosis that the Democrats are pushing out. Theology students, Union Theology Seminary, they are told that they need to sit in front of a bunch of plants and confess their climate sins. What? Look up the word psychosis in the dictionary. And very simply, it'll be break with reality. And then in another school, this girl was talking to her friends. And she pointed her hand and went bang, bang, right? Like a little child game. She got arrested on a felony charge. Overland Park, Kansas. She had no gun. In England, school year starts. It's a primary school. And they decided to have gender-inclusive bathrooms over the summer. This is Deansfield Primary School in Western London. It's for kids 4 to 11. So they come back to school, and the boys are peeing in the same bathroom the girls have to use, and the girls can't use it. They're upset about it. So the parents are getting upset about this. This is ridiculous. And if I'd have been stupid enough to allow my son to go to a public school and this happened there, there wouldn't be a communication with the teacher. I'd handle it myself. In the morning, your kids do the Pledge of Allegiance. A Vineland, New Jersey teacher has started taking a knee during the morning Pledge of Allegiance. The school district is scrambling to try to figure out how to handle it. This is confusing to me, because what do you mean, how to handle it? It's easy to handle. Tell them not to. I mean, I don't understand. Let's see, here's this one. This one, the University of Sheffield in England, of course, is having a meeting on anti-racism, and they banned white students from attending. You explain it to me. They're having a big conversation on anti-racism, and they decide to commit racism. Now, I'll tell you who's racist. Now, this is, you're going to love this one. What is it? It's the I could never say this with a straight face. SpongeBob SquarePants is both racist and violent, according to a professor, University of Washington. He's violent and racist, SpongeBob SquarePants. This is a female socialist, Holly Barker. I don't see how a square, a yellow square that has brown butt and wears a tie is violent and racist. The whole concept of the young has been perverted to such a degree that they are becoming perverted. And this was part of the plan. This is nothing out of the ordinary, ladies and gentlemen. This is not like, darn, it's only happening here. This is happening everywhere in the world, but we're seeing it more here because it's more intrusive in the United States. Because of the fact this is the only country on earth that fought and won its independence and kept it. Theoretically. Let me go there. Theoretically. You have young people who are with anxiety, all right? And then young people are quitting their jobs like crazy. Why are they committing their jobs? You want to call them Gen Zers, whatever that is. For mental health reasons, the Democrat-controlled school system has made the social aspect so touchy-feely. And you know about the safe spaces that the students can go to and how that they're blaming whites for this and blaming hard work for that. You work too hard in school. It's not fair. It's just getting ridiculous. They can't function in real life now because of mental health. That's the plan, though. This is not something out of the blue. That is the plan. Now, I have a book, and I've done a few shows on this book. It's called The Leipzig Connection by a guy named Paolo Leoni. It is a background of all of the psychiatric hogwash that's been pushed into the public school system. The school system we have has nothing to do with learning. Learning, reading, writing, arithmetic is a byproduct of the school system. The school system was created by the Illuminati as a social justice format. I'm going to play a clip, The Leipzig Connection. It explains it a little more articulately than Dumbing Down did. And then I'll give you some more information at the end of that.
Leipzig University, Germany, 1879. Professor Wilhelm Wundt experiments on the human senses. Wundt declares man's thoughts, personality, and behavior are nothing more than chemical reactions in the brain.
Wundt became frustrated with his inability to change behavior because he was dealing with the original, you know, psychology. That's the psyche, that's the soul. He created a new science, which was based on man being an animal without a soul to be trained, not to be a thinker, but to be trained.
Students from around the world gathered to study Wundt's new definition of man as a soulless organism. Following Wundt's theory, a Russian, Ivan Pavlov, conducted animal experiments seeking methods to modify behavior.
Pavlov studied in Wilhelm Wundt's laboratory in Leipzig, Germany, in the late 1800s. And he experimented with dogs, you know, with electrodes and stimulus response, denying privileges to denying rewards.
And he noticed that when you brought out some food in front of animals, dogs in particular, that they would begin to salivate. So he'd ring the bell at the same time that he brought the food out, and then eventually, instead of bringing the food out, he just rang the bell, and of course the dogs got all excited. He called that a conditioned reflex.
Pavlov's first human subjects were children. He punched holes in their cheeks to collect and measure their saliva.
Pavlovian conditioning became one of the major foundations of a lot of behavioral science research in the 20th century.
The idea that behavior could be controlled through repetitive conditioning became known as behaviorism.
The behaviorists believed that all children are animals and can be trained as animals. This was the view of behaviorists. Matter of fact, John Watson, the most famous of the behaviorists, says that you have to treat human beings or look at human beings the way you would look at the ox you slaughter. See, the behavior is not interested in what's up in your head or your soul because they don't believe there is a soul.
Watson's successor, Harvard psychologist B.F. Skinner, believed all behavior could be manipulated to suit whatever ends the behavioral psychologist was seeking.
Skinner developed what's called operant conditioning, where he
was able to demonstrate you can change animal behavior by certain schedules of reinforcement, by giving them rewards at certain times, and then you can teach pigeons to play ping pong, for example, and you can teach rats to run mazes, and you can teach human beings to seek certain economic or societal rewards.
Skinner could actually shape new behavior patterns, and this actually was the sort of thing he quite soon became very famous for.
Perhaps his most notorious experiment was the Skinner box.
Designing a Skinner box, which is something like a big playpen, but everything in it's controlled. Temperature's controlled, the light's controlled, and so on. And the idea is then you present children with certain stimuli that you want them to learn to react to.
For nearly a year, Skinner isolated his daughter in a box similar to those he built for rats.
The child was stimulated and had to respond in a certain way, like a chicken or a rat in a cage, because they firmly believe that children are animals. If you believe, though, that a child is a human being, you can't train him like a rat.
Today, about $40 million a year in taxpayer money is paid out by the United States National Institute of Mental Health for behavioral psychology research, a total of $19 billion since 1948. With these funds, psychiatrists apply the same conditioning techniques developed by Pavlov, Watson, and Skinner. Case in point, a juvenile detention center where children are hooked up to 270-volt batteries and shocked in a procedure called aversion therapy.
Antoine was having a number of problems because he was up at a center that was shocking him every time he did anything. There was a button on a little, almost like a TV remote, that would be used and pushed.
They will get an additional shock for trying to remove the electrode. So they're expected to sit there and let this electricity pass through their skin without trying to remove it. If they yell in anticipation of the shock, they will shock the student an additional time for yell.
The cost to send a student to Judge Rottenberg from New York is about $214,000 per student. These students are tortured. They're given this electric shock therapy for no other reason but to inflict pain.
Other techniques include administering electric shock to treat sexual deviance, sending powerful magnetic impulses through the skull to interrupt brain activity, and shooting high voltage through surgically implanted electrodes, all to stifle problem behavior, and costing up to $100,000 per patient.
Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Maya. She was a bright, energetic young lady. Everybody thought Maya would do great things one day. Today was a special day. It was the first day of school, and Maya was looking forward to all the new things she would learn this year. But this year was not going to be exactly what Maya expected. Something was different this year. Something in school was not quite right. Maya was still learning how to read and write, and even though her homework was full of spelling mistakes, her teacher gave her a gold star. The teacher did not ask Maya to correct her spelling. Maya's mother asked the teacher why her daughter got a gold star. The teacher said that marking the spelling wrong would hurt the child's self-esteem. In the modern way of schooling, there was no right and no wrong. They now have a new way of spelling called invented spelling. She explained that the kids could spell words any way they liked. It's all correct because it's all creative. In some of the more advanced classes, they even use this method of no wrong or right in math. This way, 2 plus 2 could equal 5, and no one's feelings would be hurt. Even though this seemed odd to Maya's mother, she didn't question the teacher. After all, the teacher is the professional, and surely she knows what she's doing. By the second month in school, Maya came home looking very down. She no longer was as happy as she used to be. Her mom didn't know that Maya was learning a subject called deaf education. All that talk about death gave Maya nightmares and made her nervous all the time. When her mom found out about deaf ed, it confused her. She didn't understand why young children were being taught about deaf. But she didn't say anything because, after all, the teacher was the professional, and surely she knows what she is doing. On the sixth week of school, Maya's mom found a test in Maya's backpack. The test was marked, not to be taken home. Her mom looked over the test and found questions about her personal thoughts. Do you sometimes get nervous talking in front of class? Do you ever get depressed? Do you feel like your parents are abusing you? Upon further research, Maya's mom found out that this was a psychological test given to the students without the parents' consent. Kids were offered pizza or movie tickets if they filled out all the answers. Investigating further, she found out that if the child was evaluated as high risk for depression, she would be sent to the school counselor, who would then tell the parents that the child needed medication. She also found out that most of the kids taking the test had mental problems and that they would all be asked to see the psychologist. Maya's mother was alarmed, but she let Maya see the counselor. She was worried about her little girl and felt she might need help. And after all, the counselor is a professional. And if he says Maya needs medicine, he must know what he's doing. The psychologist recommended Maya be put on a drug that would cure the chemical imbalance in her brain. The fact that she was never tested for such an imbalance didn't occur to her mom. The doctor was a professional. So each day before school, Maya would line up with all the other kids who also needed medication. A day after she started taking her meds, Maya was having more nightmares and weird thoughts. She didn't look right to her mother. So they went back to the doctor, who put Maya on a different drug. Even though she went along with all this, Maya's mom was confused. How could her daughter be getting high grades but not know how to read or write or do math? And why was her little girl, who was so happy and energetic, now so quiet and sleepy all the time? The teacher was pleased. Maya no longer spoke out in class and seemed to be more focused on her work. One night, after Maya finished her homework, she and her mother were watching the TV together when they saw a news report come on about another mass murder at a high school. The reporter said the boy had stopped taking his meds and that his psychiatrist said that's why he killed all those people. Here's what the reporter didn't say. Side effects of the new mind-altering drugs can cause suicide and violence. All the recent school shooters were treated with these drugs. They were all troubled boys, but none of them were murderers until after they were medicated. It was raining the day they buried Maya. Nobody could understand why a 9-year-old would want to hang herself. Things like this never happened before. It was all very confusing. The school psychologist said, if only we could have gotten to her sooner.
Those of you who have children in public school, and those of you who have gone to public school, and the idea that, well, I never learned anything there, or I didn't learn much, or I hated school, or my children are now more screwed up than ever, they can't even read and write. My brother, when he graduated high school, and this is in the 70s, could not read his diploma. He couldn't read it. And I thought, well, the school sure has got screwed up. No, that's the way it's been. And it's getting worse and worse. Now they're taking off the gloves and not even pretending to teach the children. Here in Coeur d'Alene, they've lowered the requirements for graduation to such a degree. You're going to love this. They've lowered the requirements for graduation from high school to such a degree. It's fully acceptable for children to graduate who can't add or subtract and who can't read or write. Because that's okay, because the taxpayers are funding something called bridge academies. These are schools that kids who have gone through the public school system and actually didn't learn anything can now go and learn how to do reading and writing and arithmetic so that they can at least get a job at McDonald's. This is ridiculous, but this is the new norm. And it's even going to get worse. Now they're passing rules to where if you're black, you can even graduate with less quality of instruction. It's insane. And yes, you look at it and you go, well, this is insane. Why are they doing this? I've just explained why they're doing this. And I've taken you back to the 1800s, why they're doing this. And they're going to keep doing this. You don't have an option. Let me rephrase that. You do have an option. You pull your kids out of this social justice propaganda machine called the public school system, and you teach them at home. In the books that I'm going to be having, that I told you I'm going to download a bunch of books so that everybody can download the books themselves, I'm going to have the full text of the Leipzig Connection so you can read it and refer to it yourself. There's also a series of books called the McGuffey Readers. This is what we use to teach my son how to read and write when he was like starting at 3 years old. These have been used for hundreds of years. So these, I will have links to these. You can, this is kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, algebra 1 and 2, geometry, pre-calculus. I'm going to have those. I'm going to have a link to Homeschool World, where you can go and you can find out data on how to instruct your kids at home. If any of you have any questions on the secret to teaching, just give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to help you out. This, all that I've told you today, should show you this is the matrix. And what you think is acceptable, you only think it's acceptable because you've been propagandized to it and you don't even know it. But now, at least with this information that I've given you, you can go back yourself and you can start looking yourself and you can see what's going on to a degree. This isn't the end-all be-all of this conspiracy by coincidence. This is just enough information to basically piss you off. But you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you're going to see the books that I have. You look at the show notes and you find today's show and you will see the books that I have for you that you can download, the links you can go to, the help you can get. And we're always here at Survival Enterprises. That's what we do, is we help people. So if you want to make use of the store, armchairsurvivalist.com is where you can go. By the way, you can go there. You can listen to me also. And I have everywhere all kinds of different things that you can use to listen to my show. You go to se1.us or survivalenterprises.com, and you can see what we have on sale. You can poke around there and see what we got. 800-753-1981. The phone line is open 7 days a week. If we don't answer it right away, just leave a message. It's on from 9 in the morning till 8 at night. That's 800-753-1981. Well, this is the Armchair Survivalist signing off. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. And I'm going to let Paul Harvey say goodnight to you.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey, good day.